Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Hebrews 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Now, there are several means of so-called purification under the Old Testament law, depending upon what was to be purified and the procedure that was supposed to be followed. Sometimes it was with water, sometimes with fire, or a combination of various things. But these were the exception to the general rule that there was the use of blood. Now, there is no remission of sins apart from the shedding of blood. That's what Hebrews 10 and verse 4 teaches us. This law, therefore, was no exception. Every sin required a payment, some kind of atonement, a cleansing, and blood was required. Now, this statement that we read, we accepted, is coming from God's book. Out of respect for what God has said, we do not question the truthfulness of it. To try to explain why this is true may be beyond our ability. The fact remains, it is according to the wisdom of God that such be the case. It is a cardinal point in the doctrine of the Bible, both Old and New Testament. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. While modernists seek to dismiss the efficacy of blood, the Scriptures continue to teach that there is no remission or redemption for man from his sins without blood. There is blood and salvation. Such is God's revelation and God's will. Now, there was much animal blood shed during the former dispensations prior to the system of Christ, but animal blood did not forgive sins. As best, sins were rolled forward, so to speak. The sacrifices were offered repeatedly. Hebrews 10:4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." Earlier in the chapter, an explanation is given. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in the sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year." No, by these animal sacrifices of old, there was the remembrance of sin, not the remission of sins. Hebrews 9 says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, and by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of the heifer and the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to the God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You see, friend, his sacrifice was once, and it was for all, and it paid the price that justice demanded for sin. Hebrews chapter 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ," notice, "once for all. We can declare with confidence, therefore, that principle of God, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Now, in every dispensation, man has been forbidden to eat blood. From Adam to the flood, it seems that man may have been a vegetarian. But after the flood, man was permitted to eat animal flesh, Genesis chapter 9. But even so, man could not eat the blood as he ate the flesh. Animal sacrifices had been offered all along, but blood was not to be eaten. Man was prohibited from shedding the blood of his fellow man in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. And in the Mosaic age, we read, Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, and in any of your dwellings, whosoever or whatsoever soul it shall be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Leviticus chapter 7. And again we read, And whatsoever man that be of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and I will cut him off from among the people. Notice this principle. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now in the Christian age, many things were different from former ages. But regarding the eating of blood, that law has not changed. In Acts chapter 15, But that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves ye shall do well. In Acts chapter 21, As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Friend, the reason not to eat of the blood is said, for the life is in the blood. Now there be some religionists, the Jehovah's Witness particularly, have concluded that this also prohibits the taking of blood transfusions. But friend, blood taken through the digestive system is different from blood through a transfusion. Being plunged under water while swimming is not the same as baptism, even though there are similarities. And having a hand cut off by accident is not the same as having it amputated for health benefit. There's no passage of Scripture that prohibits man from taking advantage of blood transfusions. But such reasoning, taking any medication would be outside of one's body, that also would be condemned. This is not God's will. That's not a doctrine that even came on the scene until 1942. That's not a part of the Christian doctrine. Blood has always been considered special by the Lord. God has used blood many times and for many purposes. Blood protected the Israelites from harm just prior to their leaving Egypt. The blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintels, and when God passed through the land, he promised, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Though the firstborn of Egypt died, not so were the Israelites. And in similar principle, when the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, when that blood is applied, God will spare us from the spiritual death and from an eternal hell. Well, we too have access to the mercy of God and His presence through the shedding of the blood of Christ on Calvary's cross. This is why we read in Romans chapter 5 that we're justified by His blood. And in Colossians 1, having made peace through the blood of His cross, the church, you see, was purchased by the blood of Christ, Acts 20 and verse 28. And how God set forth Jesus Christ was by His blood, it was to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, Romans 3 and verse 24. So we see that in both the Old and the New Covenants, They were both dedicated with blood, Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. Just as those things under the old law were dedicated by blood, so what we do under the new law of Jesus Christ has also been sanctified and by His blood. And realizing that our salvation is dependent upon the blood of Christ, that we are purified by His blood, that we are sanctified or set apart by His blood, we must understand how to reach that blood and apply that blood for our benefit. The application cannot be ignored if we're going to be saved. Let me illustrate. Here's a man that may have dirty hands. He desired that his hands be clean. Knowing that soap and water are available that will clean his hands, but before the cleansing agent will do the job, it must be properly applied. Man has a dirty, sin-stained soul, and he may have the desire to be clean, and knowing that the cleansing agent for his soul is the blood of Christ. But friend, that blood must be applied before it will cleanse. And the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, we are baptized into His death, Romans chapter 6, and that's where His blood was shed, John 19. We reach the benefit of that blood then and there by baptism, and that's where God applies to our sin-stained soul the agent that cleanses us from sin. What can wash away my sin? Why, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's not the water into which we are immersed that will cleanse us. It's the blood of Christ. We're saved by His blood. It says Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 6, when they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the doctrine being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that's baptism being the form thereof, then they were no longer servants of sin. They became servants of righteousness. And friend, we can stay clean by the blood of Christ, 1 John chapter 1, 6 and 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, that means if we are faithful, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. As long as we are faithful, we will remain in His body. That's where His blood flows, just like our blood is in our body, and our blood cleanses our body. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing His body. And if we are faithful in that body, we have constant contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. His body is the church. We say in the church we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. There's blood in salvation. And that's the point we want to emphasize in this lesson today. Christ said that His blood was poured out for many. He died for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2 and verse 2. And by dying, He made it possible for man to be saved. God, through blood, saves man from the wages of sin. And just as our physical body gives life by the blood, so the blood of Jesus Christ gives eternal spiritual life. Furthermore, as we read at the beginning, Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Oh, we're so thankful that the Lord has seen fit to love us to such an extent that He allowed His Son to shed His blood, and it is by His blood that we are saved from our sins. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.